in this place today that's going to sit under this presence, this heavenly presence of God, this heavy, I hear the word heavy anointing today. Heavy anointing on you today. Rest upon you today in Jesus' name. Rest upon you today in Jesus' name. Rest upon you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. I know she read a scripture, but as I was praying the other day for our nation, and then sometime when you've got some time, you go back and you read out of the Message Bible, Psalm 3 and Psalm 7. But Psalm 3 says, Lord, are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say of my soul, what? There is no help for him in God. But that word, thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And Psalm 7, listen to this. I'm going to read a little of it, but you go back and read it all. I'm not going to read all. It says, God, God, I'm running to you for dear life. The chase is wild. If they catch me, I'm finished. Ripped to shreds by foes, fierce as lions. Dragged into the forest and left unlooked for, unremembered. God, if I've done what they say, now think about it. If I've done what they say, betrayed my friends and ripped off my enemies, if my hands are really that dirty, then let them get me. Walk all over me and leave me flat on my face in the dirt. Now think about it. That was David's prayer. If I did all this, Lord, let them have me. But stand up, God. Pitch your holy fury against my furious enemies. Wake up, God. My accusers have packed the courtroom. It's judgment time. Take your place on the bench. Reach for your gavel. Throw out the false charges against me. I'm ready, confident in your verdict. Innocent. And you know, then at the end, you know, I think about what we go through and the traps that the enemy tries to lay for all of us. Traps of this, and we're going along and not expecting this person to say that, or we're not expecting this to attack us or that to happen. But the last of the chapter says this: see that man shoveling day after day, digging and then concealing his man trap down that lonely stretch of road? What's he doing? Setting a trap for you. See him, God? Go back and look again. You'll see him in it head first. Legs waving in the breeze. That's what happened. Mischief backfires, violence boomerangs. Now, church, just as the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, they turned it up hotter. And what happened? The men that were going to throw them in there burn up, and they did not burn up. The violence and everything that's going on, it's, you know, what do we do? I stand for truth. And I say that God is in control of this nation. God is in control. You say, well, is this in right or is that in right? I say, God knows. And he says it's going to boomerang on the evil. They've set a trap. And can't you picture that man that's digging that trap and all of a sudden he falls in it and his feet sticking up in the air? What a funny picture that God gave David in the midst of being surrounded by his enemies. But you know what David was doing? He said, God, I praise you. You're going to take care of this. And this morning as we begin our praise and worship, I want to say, you know what? This is how we fight our battles. It's not that I'm doing this thinking I've got you, enemy, because I'm praising God. It's just because he deserves our praise. And as we glory and we honor him, you know what? You can get distracted. You can get distracted by what you're doing this afternoon. And you can be saying the right words and lifting your hands and your heart not be in the worship of the Lord. But I say take this time to surround yourself with the glory of God and to offer him the praise that he's worthy of, regardless of what you might have to face when you walk out of here. Because you know what? I'm honoring him. This is how I fight my battles. Are you with me, church? This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. He's worthy. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Come on. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. Play. Come on, Kenzie, play that part. Don't get distracted this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We're not going to get distracted. We don't go by what these eyes see, but we go by what you promised in your word this morning. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. That's what we see. Hallelujah, an on-fire, growing church because we love the Lord and we minister His Word. Amen? Woo! All right. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Ooh. Ooh. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Go to the next one. Yeah. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Fill the skies with praise, all your mighty ways.
what we do.
Into all the world we take the mystery of your saving grace. Shine the light into the darkness.
Get a text and you find out there's no internet. So some of the songs we can't show this morning because of the songs that we get on the internet and we pull up from another group. But you know what? That's okay. You sing what you know. If you don't know, you clap and you do whatever, because you know what? We're praising the Lord. Amen. Couldn't print our Sunday school stuff. Used to doing that. But you know, it doesn't matter. We're having church. Those things are nice and they're convenient and they help us. But you know what? He is Lord, isn't he? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, this song, they did it 2-3 weeks ago, and we'd never heard of it before. But when it gets to that chorus, and it says, "You called my name, and I ran out of that grave." We were in a grave. We were dead. And you know what? He took us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he placed us into the kingdom of light. Because you called my name, and I ran out of the grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. That's where we are today. That is our position. Amen? Glory to God. Come on.
Call my name, and I ran out of that grave.
and when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. And when you call my name, I ran.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. We praise you, we magnify you, and we glorify your name as we continue to lift our praise. Thank you that we're out of the grave. Thank you for rescuing us, that we're free, that we have a new name in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
Church,
who the Son sets free, oh, is free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, oh his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me. Not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
You are for me.
You are for me.
Not against,
me. I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am. the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
Kick down, lie, you won't tear down. coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it.
We had some people that are out of town this weekend. It's supposed to be kind of like some people taking advantage of the last real pretty weekend, and they're gone camping or gone to weddings and stuff. But you know what? God is good all the time. And you know, we can get distracted by thinking, well, where's this one or that one or whatever? Okay, I just got this message from whoever, pastor or whoever, that this morning, we're getting ready to take up the offering. We need at least $1,000 for today's offering to cover the needs. We don't get $1,000. I'll just be honest with you. We don't get $1,000 today. Jerry and I won't pay our light bill. Is that being blunt enough? We don't get $1,000 today. Jerry and I, we had a car payment we paid, and we were depending upon this check today. I'm just going to be blunt honest with you. We paid it in faith that tomorrow we're going to go to the bank, and we're going to have our salary, and Pastor Shirt is going to have hers, and we're going to be able to pay the church light bill. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, how's it going? I'll just tell you how it's going. God's faithful. He's Lord, and he's in control. All right. That being said, we're going to take up the offering. Amen. Because you know who's in charge? God is. He always has been. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed gone begging bread. Hallelujah, Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this offering. Supernatural. Jesus' name, amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns, never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in. My sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe
the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender.
Worship song we do as we minister unto the Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you for who you are. For all these people, Father God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the name it is.
Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name. Could not hold the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no wrong. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name.
Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And we all say amen. Amen. And so be it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise and worship team. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew.
Hallelujah. In Judges chapter 6, we began to read where for 7 years the people of Israel had abandoned the God of their fathers in favor of worship and false gods. And for the same 7 years, the word tells us in Judges 6 that God had been trying to get their attention by allowing the Midianites to come and devastate the Israelites' countryside. And then God always has somebody hidden that he begins to speak to and begins to rise up and begins to speak the truth into the atmosphere. Amen. And so in verse 11, we have the word said, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, in the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And I just want to stop there and say, it doesn't matter where we hide out, God already knows where we're at. Amen. He already knows where we're at. He already knows what and who to send with the right words to get us out of that place of hiding. Amen. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said unto him, "The angel, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Is that better? If I put it on this side? Okay. Because it's like right in my mouth. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty men of valor." And another translation reads, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage." Wow. So here he was hiding out, afraid, in the wine press, and God begins to come and speak to him who he really is. So just because you are hiding somewhere in fear, it doesn't change who God says you are. But it changed your perspective of who you think you are. Amen? So here he was hiding from the enemy. We don't have to hide from the enemy. Amen? And so the angel says, "Gideon, this is who you are. You are a mighty man of valor. You are a warrior. You are a one of fearless courage." He didn't feel that way. Because if he had not have been feeling that way, he wouldn't have been trying to hide. Amen? And Gideon said unto him, "Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why has all of this overtaken us if you are really with us?" And even as we look at our country now that's so divided, we can say, "Lord, this is your great nation. It was established by promises of you and from men that were devoted to you. Why are we seeing all this?" Because we have an enemy that wants to destroy the truth of God and what we stand for. And he says, "Why has all this happened to us? If you say that you're with us and you said that you've been with us, why are we going through all of this? Did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? Didn't you bring us out of bondage? But only now to put us back into bondage, or for us to get back into bondage? But now you've forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." So here he was hiding out, but God spoke to him who he really was, even though Gideon at that time didn't see who he was. And he began to say, "You delivered us once, so why are you now trying to cause all these things to come upon us?" But as I read at the beginning, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. If he'd done it before, he could do it again. We have that promise. Amen. "And the Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in the might,'" or "go in the strength I have given you, and you'll save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he said unto him, "Lord, wherewith shall I save them? Save Israel. Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." I've always seen God takes the most foolish people, the people that seem hopeless at one time, and causes them to be a great mouthpiece in the earth. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the scripture tells us. So here Gideon says, "What have I got to save Israel? Why have you chosen me to save Israel? Why have you come where I'm trying to hide out and draw attention to me. And what have I got to save Israel? I'm the least one. I'm the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. I'm the one that wants to sit in the back. I'm the one who wants to hide out. But here you are calling me with the word to go so that I can save Israel. Could it be that God is speaking to you a word that says, you've sit long enough. I've given you a word, mighty woman of valor, mighty man of valor. I've given you a word that could save your family. Amen. And the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with you. And that's the key. First one is we don't go in our own strength. If he calls us, he's already anointed us. Amen. And so if he calls us, he's already anointed us. He's already given us the strength to do it. And he's already given us the word. Amen. And the Lord said unto him, I will be with you, and you will smite the enemy or the Midianites as one man. I've given you everything you need, Gideon, to do what I've called you to do. And then we go down in verse 27 of Judges chapter 6. Gideon took 10 men of his servants, did as the Lord said unto him. And that's another key. You've got to be obedient. First of all, you get called. God anoints you if he calls you. He gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the words to do it. And he's going to give you what you need to accomplish what he's called you to do. So Gideon took 10 men, did as the Lord said, and so it was because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Gideon wasn't used to saving Israel or any other nation for that matter. So here was Gideon. He was just trying to hide out and mind his own business. But God knew where he was at, amen? So he pretty much said, are you sure you know what you're doing, God? Have you ever been in that place when God asks you to do something, and you're like, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you. That is not God. That is not God. Amen. And there's flashing signs everywhere that says it is. And so here's Gideon said, I think you've called the wrong person. I'm the least of the least. I'm the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. I'm not sure if you know what you're doing, God. Hello. Amen. So I'm convinced that God really likes, as I said before, to take the weakest and the most unlikely person and just do all kinds of miraculous things through them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think he does this so that we can see that it is God and not ourselves. So that people can look at that person and say, well, that has to be God. That has to be God. And so I want to allow me to share a bit from the life of Gideon. So we read the story earlier about in Judges about Gideon. This, what we just read, gives us a glimpse into Gideon's life at that moment. And it amazes me as human beings, because we are frail without God. Amen. We are really frail people, that we could be high up on the mountaintop. And then the next moment, we could be down here moaning and groaning and wondering where God's at. Amen? It amazes me at the human emotions that we can allow, or that we allow to take over us sometimes. So when we get to look at the life of Gideon, Gideon was beating up wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. We done talked about that. And he began to say, I'm the weakest in the clan of my family. I'm the least in my father's house. And we done covered that. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, so he did it by day. He didn't do it by day, but he did it by night. So here we see Gideon was afraid. He had a spirit of fear about him that says, I've got to do this undercover so nobody else will find out about it. Amen? So he began to do that, and all he could see in himself was that his clan was the weakest and that he was the weakest one, and he didn't want anybody else to know. So he was not only hiding from the enemy, he was hiding from his family. So reading through Judges 6, it's easy to conclude that Gideon was a man full of fear, insecurity, and doubt. But I found out if we take those three things, we can make them our strength. Because look at the opposite of all that. If the devil is causing you to have great fear, he can turn that into great faith. Because the same amount of energy that you're spending on being fearful of something, just think how much more that you can turn that around into faith. Did you get that? Amen. And just as quick as you blink your eye, you can. I took a nap Friday. For some reason, I woke up in a bad mood. I still had a bad mood Saturday morning. And I said, Kenny, I'm going to ask you to forgive me before anything happens today. Before anything comes out of my mouth, I'm sorry. He says, this is one of them days I just need to be quiet, and I just looked at him. But I began to think that, we got in the truck, it was going somewhere, and I began to think that I can change my mood in the flash, in the blink of an eye, if I want to. I'm not saying it don't take some effort on our part. But we can change it just that quick. The human emotions is a powerful thing, but we can change how we feel in the blink of an eye. So reading through Judges, we conclude that he was a man full of fear, but we can turn that around and make us a person full of faith. So if that's the area of your life the enemy is fighting you over, I guarantee you it's one of the strongest points, that he's trying to convince you that it's not a strong point that you have. And insecurity and doubt, turn those around and say, devil, that's what you're fighting me against. And since you're fighting me in that area so hard, there must something be great getting ready to come out of me. Woo! Amen. Glory to God. Yes, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, in 6:12, he did not address him as a scaredy cat, a weakling, or a loser. If there is any voice that's telling you that you are a weakling, that you are a loser, that you are a person of fear or a scaredy cat, that is not God. That is not the voice of God speaking that to you. But what he did say to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, that Gideon could have been feeling those things. He could have been feeling a loser, fearful and afraid and insecure. But that's not how God sees him. And that's where we have to know what the Word says and what God really sees us, not what we see in ourselves sometimes. But he said, that's not who you are. But you are a mighty man of valor. You are a man. You are a man. You're a warrior. You're a mighty man of war. Gideon didn't pay much attention to the fact that there was an angel standing before him calling him a mighty man of valor, you know. An angel appears before us and say, oh, mighty person of God, you're going to do this. I don't think so. You know, you get what I'm just saying? So he said, well, just because there's an angel standing before me doesn't mean that he knows what he's talking about. So he immediately began to dispute what the angel said. He said, he began to list of all the reasons that he couldn't do it. And we come up with so many reasons why we can't do something that God is telling us to do, instead of all the reasons that we can do what God says that we can do. Well, we begin to just come to the conclusion that it's in the strength of God. It's in his anointing. And it's just us in believing and giving into that, calling. And giving into that what he's saying to do. And he leads us as we go. As I said so many times, he gives us just enough light for the step that we're on. But we want the flashlight to shine out there a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. God says, that's not walking by faith. I'm going to give you just enough light for the faith walk that you're on to say, take the next step. Take the next step. Take the next step. That's walking by faith. Amen. So he immediately began to say, just because there's an angel there don't mean that he knows what he's talking about, you know. So Gideon said, please, sir, if the Lord is with us then, why has all this happened? How many times in our life have we questioned God and we begin to say, why is all this happening? I'm really a good person, God, you know. In case you haven't noticed, I'm a really good person. I go to church, I treat my neighbors, I love my neighbors, I love myself, I pay my tithes, I even call people, check on them sometimes, and we get into work. We try to receive from God that way. Amen. And so he began to question why all this was happening to him. And when the enemy comes up to me, against me with something, I began to say, why not me? Why not the enemy bring his stuff against you? Because he sees that anointing. He sees God. He sees Jesus. He sees the Holy Ghost. Amen. The enemy is actually afraid of you. Because if you can ever get a hold of what you real of who you really are and what you really possess, honey, you are packing. You are packing. Amen. My goodness. And that's why the enemy is really afraid of you. He just don't want you to know that. To know that he is afraid of you. And so that's why he throws all that stuff on you and tries to hinder you and get you to doubt and live in fear. Because he doesn't want you to see what you're packing. He doesn't want you to see that. Because if a child of God, if a son or daughter ever gets a hold of who they are, as I said, and the anointing and the power that's been given to them. Amen. I read one time, in the natural, I was born a natural loser. I was born a sinner. But when I got born again, my second birth gave me something. That second birth made me an overcomer. It cost me from being a loser to a winner. Amen. It cost me from being a sinner to a saint. I am saved. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to meet Jesus one day. Amen. So he said, why has this all happened to us? And where is all your wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midianites. Because Gideon didn't see it, he could not believe it. And that's a lot of our problem. We want to see it, then believe it. And that's not walking by faith. That's not trusting God. Jesus says in John 20, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Amen. So the Gideon, the first half of this story is one man. It's one man that we see. But in the second half of the story, he gets to be a totally different person than the one that he was in the pit, when he was in the pit pressing wine. Gideon returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the host of the Midian into your hand. For anything ever happened, he believed it was going to, and he's seen it, I believe. Something happened. Whew, in that pit. Your deliverance happens in the pit, church. Amen. Your deliverance begins to happen in the darkest place of your life when you don't see no way out. God says, I've already made a way out. Amen. So Gideon began, he said, arise. In other words, get up. Get out of your depression. Get out of your slumber. Get out of where you are at, because something is getting ready to happen. That which the enemy has come in and done us harm, that has stole from us and taken from us, it's about to get reversed. I speak that over to somebody right now in the name of Jesus. That which the enemy has meant for your harm, that has come to cause you to be depressed, that has come to cause you to be oppressed, hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord says that thing has been reversed right now in the name of Jesus. He said, I'm sending it back to the enemy camp. I'm sending it back to the enemy's camp, and it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. That which has come against you, your house, and your family, and your finances, through sickness, and all of this stuff, God says it's been reversed right now in the name of Jesus. I believe in the next 2 weeks, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, there's coming a great deliverance to you and your household. I'm just going to go ahead and speak it out there. And I believe I'm hearing the Spirit of the Lord saying there's come a great deliverance even in this nation. There's some things that's going to be uncovered that's even going to rock the entire world. God says to get ready, get ready, get ready, church. Because there's a flood of people that are coming into the household of God. There's a flood of people that's coming in that says, I need help. I need deliverance. I need something more than what I have right now. Because the path that I've been on is going in the wrong direction. I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Well, I want to tell you, church, you're packing today. You're packing in your spirit, in the innermost being of you. You're packing the hand of deliverance. You're packing the hand of healing. You're packing the hand of hope. You're packing the hand, the spirit, the hand, the mighty hand of God is upon you to bring somebody's deliverance in this season. Amen. You received that word today. Ha ha, sheheto hotara makaya. I come against every demonic spirit that has been unleashed to destroy this nation and to destroy you as a family, to destroy your family. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood over every situation, over every circumstance. And I say that you are an overcomer because you've been born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I see a tidal wave of the Spirit of the Lord sweeping over this nation, sweeping over this country. God has not forsaken us. God has not forsaken us. But that which is meant for our harm, God says, I'm taking those things. And I just see him bundling them up and just throwing them back. He says, I'm unleashing a great anointing in this place and in this realm. And in this season, in this time, and he says, don't be afraid to step in it, even if you do not understand it. God said, it's by my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you try to write some of that down because I don't think we're recording this morning. So if you could just write some of those things down that I just spoke. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Gideon returned in Judges 7:15. Arise, for the Lord has given the host of the Midian into your hands. So you've got to see yourself delivered. You've got to see yourself. Blessed are those that believe. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered thee from Zeba and this other place into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with thorns of the wilderness and with briars. He says, enemy, I'm coming after you. And when I come after you, this is what's going to happen to you. Enemy, I'm coming after you, and I've got the word that I win. Enemy, I'm coming after you, and I've got the word that I overcome. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say in 8:12, he pursued them. You know, if you want something for God, you can't sit still, but you have to go after it and pursue it. You say, well, Pastor Shirley, I thought everything's been given to us. Yes, it has, but there is an enemy that wants to keep that which has been promised to us from us. And as long as we're sitting by, he will ride over us and he will destroy us. Amen. So if there's something that God's been speaking to you about, get up and pursue it and just begin to say, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to lay aside? Is there anything that I can do? Amen. And he pursued them and captured the two kings and threw all the army into a panic. I tell you, when you realize that you're packing, when you realize what you've got inside of you and you begin to speak on the authority of the Word of God, it's going to throw the enemy into a panic attack, and he's not going to know what's happened. Amen. Beating out into the winepress to hide it. To his confession of my clan, he said, I'm the weakest. And we've been through how he was afraid of the family and the men of the town, and he did it by night. So where did this bold, faith-filled, strong man of God come from? All of a sudden, from being fearful and secluded and hiding out from his family and the town folk and the enemy, where did this bold, all of a sudden, faith-filled man of God come from? And that's what the enemy's going to say about you. He's going to say, my goodness, what happened? I had them in fear. I had them in a grip of fear. I had them locked down. I had them in depression. I had them secluded. What happened to them? Where did this faith-filled, strong man or woman of God come from? What happened in between Judges 6 and Judges 7:15 to bring such a dramatic shift? As I said, in a blink of eye, you can change what you believe. That quick. Amen. So one minute he's quivering. Gideon is quivering in fear. The next he is touting about he will destroy those who come against him. The only thing that changed was that Gideon actually started to actually believe what God said to him and who he was. He just began to say, well, if you say that I'm a mighty man of valor, I am a mighty man of valor. If you say that I am a warrior, well, I guess I am a warrior. If you say that I'm an overcomer, well, I guess I'm an overcomer. Not guess, I know. If you say that I'm an overcomer, then I know that I'm an overcomer. Because there's no guessing games with the Word of God. Amen. There's no guessing games. So if you said it, then I'm just going to believe it. And I'm just going to start walking in it. Amen. So the only thing that changed was he just started actually believing who God said he was. Amen. 1 John 5, 4 through 5 says, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe what God has said about you? Do you really actually believe what God says about you? Not what anybody else has identified you as. Not what anybody else says. Not what you were saying in your head that you're not even speaking out of your mouth. Because what you begin to think, you'll begin to live out. Are you allowing the things around you to define who you are? Do you really believe that you're an overcomer, church? That you have everything you need to come out of this fight victorious? Because the battle has already been won. And you may be saying this morning, well, I don't feel like an overcomer. It doesn't go by feeling. It goes with what God has already said. Because our emotions, we're fickle human beings sometimes. Amen. So maybe a few of you thought that you actually do not have what you need to be victorious. And that's another lie of the enemy that wants to tell you, well, you don't have what you need to be victorious. You know, you've got to do this and that and that and that. Everything you need is already in your spirit. You have everything in your spirit to be an overcomer. So you have to download what is already there. And you know, just like when you're on a computer and everything that you want to save is already in that computer, so you have to turn it on and go find where it's downloaded at. Go find where it's at so that you can download it. And so, you know, we have to, when we've got everything that we need in us, we've got to know how to download what is already in our spirit, what has already been placed there at our new birth. Amen. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's the Word. We have to get into the Word and begin to download what's already in our spirit. And when we begin to download that, you might say, well, I'm not sure if it's God or not. You know, I'm just not sure. It's going to be in agreement with what the Word has already said. And if it's not, then you'll just get that error like a computer says, you know, error, error, error. Amen. God's not going to let you go somewhere that you're not supposed to go in this life. When you trust and you obey Him, He's big enough to handle it. And He's big enough to protect you. And He's got you in His grip. So how do we download? By getting into, reading the Word, and actually believing what it says. This is what activates the Word in our life. So what you download will come into agreement with the Word. Others, you know, say, well, if the battle is already won, why don't we see it? Mark 9:23, Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So we read the Word, we believe what it says, and then we begin to speak what it says. And when we begin to do those three things, we will start walking what it says. Amen? God saw Gideon as a mighty man of valor before Gideon saw it himself. Once he started to believe it, he began to see it, and that's when he began to rise to the occasion and said, okay, God, if you said I can do it, if you said I could go in your strength, then I believe I can. And I'm going to get up out of this pit. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. And I'm going to walk in that which you said I could walk in. Amen. 1 John 5:4, I just read a while ago, but I will read in the Amplified, a Bible, and the Passion Translation. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is that is victorious over, that conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trust in, and relies on that fact. The Passion Translation says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating its powers? It's those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith, our believing that Jesus is the Son of God is what causes us to overcome. It's what causes us to be an overcomer. So how do we overcome in this life? This is the victory that has overcome of the world. For our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. The world says it's this way, but our faith says it's, no, it's this way. Because we live by faith, and not by sight. Amen. 1 Corinthians says we walk by faith, not by sight. We're already victorious through Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:37-39 of a victory that is absolutely crushing when we begin to think about it. Know in all these things, the Word tells us, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And it goes on again to say all the things that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The word there is the word hyper, which means super basically. And like I said last Sunday, we are super conquerors in Him through love does. We are overcomers. We are super overcomers in this life. When we begin to get hold of the fact of who we are and why we are here on this earth. So it's not like, you know, the last buzzer of the ball game that shoots that in there automatically. It's an absolutely crushing victory that we have in Jesus. Walking day by day, step by step, faith by faith. John is saying this, that those who are born of God enjoys experiences and can look forward to that kind of crushing where sin does not defeat us, cannot defeat us, when deception cannot defeat us, cannot conquer us. And it's not just a once in a while victorious conquering, but it's a regular, because the word overcomers in the original language is a continuous sense. We are continually overcoming. And the only time that we're not is if we choose to quit and give up. But with a blink of an eye, we can change. We can change, amen? For everyone who is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory, as I read it again, that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is that is overcoming the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So you will be regularly overcoming, overcoming, and overcoming. You'll be crushing and crushing and crushing the world, the devil and the flesh. Everyone who is born of God, amen? Thank you, Jesus. I've got some more, but I really feel like I need this. I'm going to close with this scripture. This will be it. John 16:33, we have the promise. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation, trials, and distresses, and frustration. But, he says, be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived its power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Amen. Do you see that word today, church? Amen. You may be in the pit right now, but it could change in a second. All you got to do is believe. Amen. A faith that overcomes. Faith that overcomes. Stand to your feet.